In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You could go to just about any country in the world, probably every country as a matter of fact, and you'd find that they have holidays. Some holidays are religious and some are secular. Most of you probably don't know this, but yesterday was LBJ's birthday, and that's a state holiday in the state of Texas, but only state employees keep track of that sort of thing. Soon we're going to celebrate Labor Day, and in November we have Veterans Day, just to give two examples. But most of us, when Labor Day comes around, we're not spending the day celebrating the union movement or the dignity of the working man. And on Veterans Day, maybe some of us are giving some thought to the veterans that have made our freedom possible, but for the most part, most people tend to look on these days pretty much as a day off. We have celebrations, but we have celebrities, and that's something that we do pay attention to in our culture. We care about what celebrities think, even though the reason why they're celebrities very often has no relationship with the kinds of things that we'll listen to them talk about. They'll pontificate on politics, they'll pontificate on philosophy, and yet these people don't have any more education or wisdom than anyone else. It's just that they know how to strum a guitar, or they're very good looking, or they know how to read lines and to act in a movie. And yet, people in our culture look to them and we want to be like them. We emulate them. We admire these people. If you go back a little bit further in time before we had popular media, we had celebrities like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, and so we had holidays. We celebrated their birthdays, and those birthdays used to actually be pretty big deals. Now they've just been combined to President's Day, and again, it's just another day off for us. But how should we approach the feast of the church? Last night at the vigil, we heard during the hymns of the Litia how we should understand them and how we should approach them. Come, ye assembly of those who love the feast of the church. Come, let us form a choir. Come and with hymns let us crown the temple, the ark of the rest of God. For today heaven expandeth its bosom, receiving her who gave birth to him who is invisible to all. And the earth receiveth the wellspring of life, who imparteth blessing and is adorned with splendor. The angels form a chorus with the apostles, gazing with awe upon her who gave birth to the author of life, and who has translated from life to life. Let us all bow down before her, praying, O mistress, forget not thy kinship with those who celebrate thy most holy dormition with faith. The first thing that this tells us is that we should come. You hear something along this line at almost every feast. Come, all ye who love the feast of the church. And those that love the feast of the church do come. But we should all want to be one of those people. And you might say, well, I don't feel like I love the feast of the church. When I come to the services, maybe it's difficult for me. Well, as in your marriage, as in your relationships with your fellow man, love is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you make. And you choose to love things, and you can choose to love the feast of the church. And when you come to the service of the church, it may be difficult at first, but if you take the time, if you actually do come and you pay attention to the services and you try to participate in the services as much as you can, you will actually come to where that feeling that we associate with love will start to go along with your choice. But you have to make the choice first. In the feast, we also remember what God has done in history for and through his people, for our salvation, for our emulation. And so it mentions here that we should ponder with awe the acts of God in his saints. And we do that in the services that mark these occasions. And when we have a fast that prepares for a feast, as we do in the case of this feast, we actually enter into that fast in the proper spirit. Our attention to that feast is heightened. Because the whole time when we change our routine, when we're preparing for that feast, we're thinking about what it is that's coming up if we're doing it in the right way. And what do we achieve when we properly celebrate these feasts? It makes us grateful for what God has done for us. When we think about what God has done, we have to give thanks. when we think about how he loves us, that he has worked out our salvation. All these things should inspire love for us, and it also inspires love in us for the saints. These are the celebrities that we should be fixated upon. In the cycle of the services of the church, we focus on the Virgin Mary and St. John the Baptist, second only to the Feast of the Savior. These are the people that we should admire the most. And as we come to the end of the liturgical year, which if you didn't know, this month is the end of the liturgical year, we celebrate the death of these two great saints, the Virgin Mary and St. John the Baptist. These are the people that we should honor. These are the people that we should strive to be like. And when we come to their services, when we come to the feast, we draw closer to God, and we're also able to make them our friends, and we become family of the saints. O Mistress, forget not thy kinship with those who celebrate thy holy dormition with faith. Amen.